We try to do a few stories from Chazal, stories from the Medrash. I put them online, and you guys can get books like this. This happens to be a wonderful book called Ko'asu Chachameinu, which tells the stories from Chazal in simplistic form, explaining it to children in Hebrew. They sell it upstairs, right? They sell it in bookstores here in Israel all over. And we tell over the stories throughout the classes. They're excellent bedtime stories. They're excellent stories to tell your kids in general. And this story, there are different versions quoted in different places. We will also encounter it in this book that we're learning, the Sefer Masiyot, said in a slightly different vein. Then we'll say it now. There was once a man who was very kind. He always helped people, gave a lot of tzedakah. And he loved mitzvah so much that he and his wife saw that they couldn't perform as much tzedakah as they'd like. They sold the large house they were living in to live in a smaller house so they could help the poor some more. And they lived a very modest life. His wife did a little bit of work, and they had a little bit to live off of. And he invested most of his time doing acts of kindness and mitzvot. It was the end of the holiday of Sukkot. It was Hoshana Rabbah. And his wife gave him 10 coins from her work, and she said, "Do me a favor. Go to the market and buy something for our children in honor of the holiday, Shmini Atzeres, that's coming." He went, and he went to the shuk to see what he could buy that the kids would like. Now, as he was approaching the market, the two people who were in charge of tzedakah for the city, called Gabaim, Gove means to collect, Gabai is the one in charge of collecting, they were busy trying to put together money to help a very important cause. And when they saw him, they were happy. Ah, here he is. For sure he'll help us out. They didn't know that he was in a situation now where he couldn't really afford to help them out. So they assumed he was still well off. They came over to him. They said, "Could you help us? We have a girl who's been orphaned, and she needs to get married, and she doesn't even have a blouse to wear to the wedding. We're trying to put together the funds to buy her a nice blouse she could wear for the wedding." So the man thinks, he says, "She can't even afford a blouse for the wedding. That's a big mitzvah. Our kids have parents. They'll be happy even if I don't buy them things for Yom Tov." So he quickly took the 10 coins his wife had given him, and he gave it to the collectors. Now he had nothing left to do in the shuk, because he just spent the money he had. So he went to the shul to learn. Said, "What am I? I got nothing to do in the shuk anymore." So, like a good Jew, he went to use his time wisely. He was sitting alone in the shul, and the custom used to be that at the end of Sukkot, people would leave their etlogim on the tables for the kids to play with. The kids would play, and after they finished playing, they'd leave their etlogim on the table. So the guy looks at the shrogim, and he's thinking, the shrogim were left here by the people for children. If they're left here, they're hefker. These are a shrogim that no one wanted to take home. They're no longer performing mitzvot with them. Tonight already we could eat it after Sukkot. So let me bring my kids home. At least I'll bring them home the shrogim. I'll bring them something to play with." He was a little bit embarrassed. He's coming home. His wife sent him to get something for the kids. He's got nothing to bring home. So he found an old sack, and he put all the shrogim inside the sack, and he started heading home. He looked, and on his way home, he passed the port, and he said, "Maybe I'll ask them if they need someone to work a little bit. I'll do a little bit of work. I'll have a little bit of money before I go home. And this way, if I come home only with the shrogim, my wife will say he spent my 10 coins on that. Like this, I'll have something, my wife will be pretty upset if I come home with just this sack of estrogen." So he went onto the ship, and he asked the captain if he could have some work. He's working at the bottom of the ship, and the ship set sail. So he's off at sea, and he doesn't even know it. He's working, and he comes up, and the ship is already in the middle of the sea. And he asks them, "Where are you headed? What's going on?" They tell him, "You'll see." They explain to him where they're headed. And he's stuck now. So he waits till the ship docks. And And then he figures, what do I have with me? I have a sack full of esrogim. That's all I got. Maybe in this city I'll be able to sell it. So you can make jam out of it. Figures I'll make something out of it, and then I'll find my way back home. He got tired, and he's a little bit down on himself. You know, Yom Tov's coming, and he's stuck here in this foreign land with the sack of esrogim. Doesn't even know how to get back home. Doesn't have a penny to his name. And he lays under a tree. Now, at that time, everyone was upset because the king had terrible stomach pains and the doctors couldn't heal him. And they had tried every medication they knew and the king hadn't been healed. And God caused one of the doctors to come up with this brilliant plan. He tells the king, you know, if you would only have an esrog that the Jews bless on Hoshana Rabbah, you'd be healed right away. This is what my secret medical books tell me. So the king sends his servants to go looking for an esrog like that. So everyone's starting to look, but this was an area where Jews didn't live. They ask the sailors, they ask, you know, maybe you happen to come from a port where you had Jews and you bought an esrog like that, but they can't find it. So the king sends his officers, he says, you gotta look. If this is what's gonna heal me, you gotta find it. So his people are going around announcing and declaring, we're searching to buy an esrog like that. And they happen upon this guy, as they're riding, searching, they happen upon this guy lying under the tree. And they tell him, you look like you're a stranger in town. Do you have anything to sell? So he got scared. So he said, you know, maybe I'm supposed to pay a tax before I sell my esrog in here. Maybe they're coming, they're the income tax collectors. So he said, I have nothing, I'm a pauper, I have nothing. They tell him, we see you have a sack. What do you mean you have nothing? Let us see what you have inside the sack. They open the sack, and they see the sack is filled with esrogim. They're happy, they found what they wanted. So, but they didn't know, are these what the doctor had wanted? So they asked him, where did you get these esrogim from? So he got scared even more. He said, these are old esrogim. These are esrogim that the Jews used of Sukkos. The Jews didn't need them anymore, so I took them. But don't worry, it's not something precious. So they said, but that's what we want. To us, it's precious. So he said, you want them? Take them. They're yours. Take them for the king. They said, no, come with us. The king will pay you for it. He's not going to take it for free. So they brought in with this sack to the king, and the king ate the esrogim, and the whole idea, God set this up so that this guy gets paid back for all the kind deeds he had done his whole life. And the king got healed, and the king said, you know, I got to hold on to all of your esrogim because maybe I'll get sick again. Right now I feel better. So don't worry, I'll pay you for them. And the king called his storage keeper, the guy who's in charge of his money, and he told him, fill his sack with gold coins. And he said, the guy said, you know, but I, if you could help me, what I really want to be is to be home for Yom Tov. You know, I'm away from my family. I got here by mistake. So the king saw that he got a ship, and they sent him home. And he came home wealthier than he had ever been, with all the gold he got instead of the esrogim. And now he was really able to continue performing tzedaka for the rest of his life. Good night.
It's a good point, you know.